Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
With Virgin Mobile. Freedom is calling to brighten up your winter mornings. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It is Lottie Ryan in for Jennifer Zamparelli this morning with you until midday. And I'm very excited about this next conversation because I feel like it could, this is for selfish reasons, but I feel like it could benefit me personally very much. Recent surveys are suggesting that talking to strangers is good for you. And it sounds like an interesting little resolution for me for 2022 because I am genuinely really, really bad at it. So I'm going to start the week chatting to somebody that I've never met. Author, lecturer and neuroscientist Brian Penny. How are you, Brian?
Hey, Lottie. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Okay, I'm keeping good. It's really interesting. I'm going to start that new resolution myself of talking to strangers this week. So we're both on the same lines with that.
What, like, how good would you be at talking to strangers, Brian?
Oh, do you know what? I really fit this study we're going to talk about because I love it. And I love coming away when I have a great conversation with a stranger and I know the benefit, but I'm not very good at starting that conversation. I sort of need the stranger to activate the conversation, really.
I mean, obviously, I know I'm saying I've never met you in person before, but we're not really talking about like a radio interview here. We're talking about real life strangers.
Yes.
And what I don't understand is why you're saying it's a valuable thing. How is it a valuable thing to talk to a stranger?
Yeah, it's crazy. So what the research shows is that we seriously benefit from these deep conversations with strangers, but we're reluctant to engage in them because if we overestimate the awkwardness and underplay the value. And that's the big problem. But in this study, it was a recent study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. What they done was, it's really interesting. So they paired participants randomly with another person. And they were asked to discuss several questions, and it was topics, deep topics like what they're grateful in life for, things they had cried about in front of another person. Then they asked the participants to estimate before the conversation, to estimate how much they would be interested in the other person, how much they would be interested in them. They also asked them to estimate how awkward the conversation would be or how it would feel, and to estimate how strong a bond they would feel with the other person afterwards. Now, after the conversation, they then rated their actual experience of the conversation using those same three metrics: how interested they were, how awkward it felt, and how connected they felt to that other person. And the results show that participants they completely underestimated how interested they would be in the other person and how interested that person was in them as well. They also underestimated how connected they would feel with their paired partner and overestimated how awkward the conversation would be. So overall, like, you just feel much more connected with that person. You have a great conversation with that person. You are much more interested, and there's no awkwardness in that. And that's what the research shows.
But I think I'm definitely one of those people who's reluctant because I'm...
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I'm overestimating how awkward it would be, but you're saying I probably am.
Yeah, and I found this myself. If before I read this research, if someone asked me how would you be okay with striking up a conversation with a stranger, I'd say, yeah, I'd be fine with that. But I'm actually just very, I think that's the word, I'm actually just very reluctant to do it because you're actually being vulnerable because you could get rejected straight up. Like, they could turn the other foot and get rejected. So you have to be vulnerable. You're going to be sharing your emotions as well. You're looking for that connection as well. So it's, I think rejection is the deep-seated thing that is there. But basically, you are getting that connection when you have that deep conversation. So there's so much to gain within that as well. And when, I don't know, personally for myself, when I have a deep conversation with somebody and I really enjoy that conversation, I really come away from that situation feeling on top of the world. It's that you're getting that dopamine hit. You're getting that serotonin, those sort of good feelings of a deep connection with another human being.
But have you had a deep, like a big, deep, meaningful conversation with a stranger?
I have. And you know what? There was one in particular that jumped out at me when I was reading this research. And I was on the train going into town one day, a couple of years ago, when there was an older man across from the seats. You know the four seats that you have on the trains?
Yes.
And he struck up a conversation with me. And I can't even remember what the conversation was about. I'm all into personal growth and philosophical things, spiritual things like that. So I imagine it was likely around that. But what I do, when I often hear this, that you rarely remember what people say, but you remember how you feel. And I remember just having a great feeling, and I can remember that man's face and all. And I just had a really lovely conversation with him. I was raging I couldn't remember the topic in that, because of a couple of tactics on how to strike up those conversations. But I've definitely had them in the past. One thing I found is, like, a friend of a friend, if you meet a friend of a friend sometime that you didn't know, and they're a stranger when you first meet, and sometimes you just have this great spark, this great conversation, and it's just really fulfilling.
And so you mentioned there that you have tips and tricks in the bag on how to start these conversations. So give them to me, because I need to learn, because I am genuinely terrified of talking to strangers. I don't know what it is or where it comes from. I'm just that person that even at a party, I will gladly hide in the corner of the room if I don't have a friend there, rather than go and make an effort to talk to somebody I don't know, because I'm just so freaked out by it.
Yeah, it's funny. Do you know what it reminds me of as well? Do you ever see kids? Some kids are just great with that. They'll go over
they're
and
the
say,
best.
Yeah, and they haven't learned those ideas that you might get rejected. Like, they're just vulnerable. They're just naturally vulnerable and stuff. So I think we have to go back to our childhood nearly and get back into that. But there's a couple of things. So there's two key things for me, and it's really the questions you ask is critical.
Okay.
And then the energy and the attitude that you bring to the table. So I think that's really, really important. Now, the first thing that's really important as well is, so before you ask the question, so it might be a little bit odd to just go up to a stranger and ask their deepest desires and feelings straight from the off. So you need to be a little bit more strategic. And there was something that I heard about a long time that made a lot of sense to me. It's called triangulation. So that's a good place to start. So basically, triangulation is, there's you, there's the other person, and then to finish the triangle, there's something else that can spark that conversation. So you could try in a non-creepy way. You could, like, compliment them about something. Maybe they're carrying a bag. Maybe they're carrying a bag that it looks like they're going to college or they're going to work. You could just start, oh, I like that bag. Where are you off to? Something to just start the conversation. So you can't just jump straight in. So triangulation.
So an icebreaker.
And triangulation is a really good tool for that. So maybe it's a coat or wearing. Like, people love to be complimented. That is the truth of. So if you complimented someone on something, that could be a good place to start. Or if you're going in the same direction, something that you could use to break the ice. But then, like you said, and I'm going to do this as well, question that I'm going to ask this week is, I'm going to go up to a person and say, I recently heard that chatting with strangers is deeply beneficial. So my New Year's resolution for 2022 is to make more of an effort. So that's nearly a little bit of an icebreaker as well.
Good point.
But then, the questions that you ask are absolutely key. And there's two questions that I think, I was sort of looking through questions and I was having to think about different questions you can ask. So they have to be sort of deep and broad and get into the conversations that you really want, that can really open people up in different ways. So a lovely one that I heard is, do you think life will be better if you threw your smartphone in the ocean? And that really allows them to go down into different routes and different areas of what the smartphone is to them. Maybe they love it. Maybe it's very important. You could strike out conversation about connection, all of these different things. But it's a conversation I would love to have with people. Maybe it's not everyone's cup of tea. And other things like really high concept things like passion. We love talking about passion, vulnerability, connection. So you could say, do you think following your passion is good advice or bad advice? And it can just start to open up that conversation into something really deep. You could talk about your passion, their passion, and let it go from there. So the questions you ask and what you are genuinely and passionately interested in yourself, I think is really, really key.
And which is the thing that I wonder about is vulnerability, because I think I would fear that if I was getting deep in the conversation, I'd be showing a lot of vulnerability and I'd be afraid, not that they'd laugh at me, but, you know, that they'd be kind of looking at me going, who is this absolute weirdo? She's getting so passionate about this. That's what my fear is. But I think vulnerability actually is appreciated by other people, and it's not what I'm thinking.
Yeah, 100%. And this is something I've struggled with myself over time. And the more I practice vulnerability and the more I practice sharing my emotions, the more I get rewarded for it. That's been my personal experience. And it is, again, like I talked earlier on, like it's important the questions you ask and the energy you bring to the situation as well. So sometimes you might get a little bit burned. Sometimes you might get rejected. But as I mentioned, it's the energy and the attitude that you bring to that situation as well. And there's two rules that I implement in my own life, and I think they really fit into the question you've just asked there, Lottie, and this whole conversation as well. And it's like a principle that I have in my own life. I just call it life it up. So when I encounter other people, whether it's people I know or strangers or in any situation, I just try to life it up. Like I bring my awareness, my enthusiasm, my passion, my drive, try to bring your energy to a situation. Yeah. And that's really, really important because people love being around high energy and passion. Like they're more likely to engage in that situation. But a friend of mine who he's from America, from the US, I've never actually met him. He's kind of a stranger friend because we had a little bit of a banter on Twitter a couple of years ago and he sent me a book that he wrote. But he has this rule for life that I've implemented in my own life. And it goes like this. Lean into every moment expecting magic and miracles.
Love that.
Now, it's brilliant, isn't it? It's brilliant. I've had so much rewards by it practicing this rule in my own life. But one thing that's really important there won't always be magic and miracles. But if you always lean in and expect it, well, the few times you do get that magical conversation, the few times you are vulnerable and that person is vulnerable with you as well, it's so well worth it. And it will override the few times that you might feel a bit weird or the conversation goes a bit strange. So you need to be vulnerable. I think that's a key part of this.
And you need to also probably... well, speaking for myself, let go of fear of judgment.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it's a funny one, judgment, stereotypes and first impressions and stuff like that. And a lot of us think we can be immune to that. Like, some people think we don't do that. But psychology shows us that it's a biological process. We instantly do that. So you have to be present in that and be aware of that and try not to let that override your decisions and just be open and listen. Actually listen. That's one of the skills.
And show empathy to people because I think that's how people can connect.
Definitely, definitely. And I think like people love, this is a thing that I've learned as well. Like we all love talking about ourselves and it's a truth. Like we do love talking about what we're doing. So when you're listening and truly listening to someone and giving them that space to share when you have that conversation, it can just really be a beautiful conversation and it's back and forth then as well, you know?
And do we get like any kind of a happy chemical release when we talk to a stranger?
We do indeed. That was something I wanted to talk about. It was there's this idea called social homeostasis. So it's very similar. Like our bodies, let's say our biology, we're always trying to be in homeostasis. Unconsciously, our bodies are trying to be in homeostasis. So even if you think of hunger, when you get hungry, you eat food. It brings you back into homeostasis, and you get hungry again. That's how the body works. And
sorry, like, what's homeostasis?
Sorry, homeostasis is just a balance that we have. So let's say it's basically just a balance. So if you're really, really hungry, the balance is off. So when you eat food, the body goes back into homeostasis. So it's like a seesaw. You're in the middle of the seesaw. Okay. It's not one side. It's not the yin or the yang or anything like that. And what the research shows is that we have this social homeostasis as well. So when we are lonely or when we're not having conversations with people, and I'm sure lots and lots of people have been struggling with this over the last 20 months or so, our body sort of goes into stress. And this is why loneliness can be so bad for your health, your physical health. So your body can go into stress. Cortisol is released in the body because of the stress response. We aren't connecting with different people. And what we do, we need to connect with other people to bring us back into homeostasis. And it's basically a dopamine and a serotonin release. Those feel-good neurotransmitters in the brain, they're released into the body and we are back into homeostasis, social homeostasis. So when you feel a craving to connect with other people, it's actually a physical thing. It's a visceral thing. So it's such an important thing for our mental health and our physical health as well.
Yeah, it's quite incredible because then you think about everything we've all been through over the past 2 years and how something like that can be so badly affected.
Massively, massively so. And I think what this research shows is that go out and make the effort. If you go out and make that effort, and it is a little bit harder right now than other times, you have the masks and stuff like that as well. But you could use that as a little icebreaker, and it could be this conversation, this research could be a really nice icebreaker. It's funny that we both said we're going to try the same things, Lottie. So we'll have to get back in contact and see
Yeah,
how that went.
100%. And my tip would be, because I'm not great at seeking out situations that make me uncomfortable. So my way of doing this is what I'm going to do is I have noticed I have a dog, which I got about a year and a half ago. And when I go for walks in the park, there's like this whole other community of people. And I would usually have my head down, headphones on, you know, kind of trying to keep to myself or whatever. I'm going to make a conscious effort now that I could stop and talk to another dog owner and try to have a conversation with them. And even if it's only a very small one, for me, I'm just going to use that as my starting platform, I think.
Yeah, that's nice. And I love, I think for anybody that can really fit into, for most people as well, like put the phone away. Like that's a real key piece, because we tend to get on a bus, we're at a bus stop or wherever we might be, train station, we have the phone, and that sort of takes away these potential opportunities. So maybe people could start with that as well. Put the phone away, take the earphones off, and be aware of those
And be
potential.
open, just be
Yeah,
open.
be open, be open. Yeah,
Listen,
definitely.
Brian, thank you so much for that. It's fascinating, and seeing as we're both taking on the same task, let's hook up again in the next while and see how we get on.
Definitely. Sounds like a plan, Lottie. Really
Okay,
enjoyed it.
thanks,
Thanks for that.
Brian. Thanks a million. That was author, lecturer, and neuroscientist Brian Penny.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.